This morning in our consecutive reading of the Holy Scripture, we come to Judges chapter 14. This morning we'll just look at verses 1 through 9. We've just begun this section dealing with the history of the last judge in this book, Samson. And we pick up the story here in chapter 14. Here in chapter 14 we see by extraordinary guidance and providence, this man Samson is called to marry a Philistine woman in verses 1 and 4. And then we also see by a special providence, he is encouraged to attack the enemies of God, the Philistines, in verses 5 through 9. Let us hear God's word. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had domination or dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. He had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Just several observations from this brief text. Again, I said, by an extraordinary providence here, we have in verses 1 through 4, Samson marrying a Philistine woman. We see that this marriage is a common case, but we see in verse 1 that it was foolishly done. Samson is more concerned about this woman's outward appearance than her godly character. He's impressed with her appearance, but he doesn't consider adequately that she's a Philistine, that she worships the false god Dagon. So she wants a girl just for her looks. Not good. Foolish. And yet he honors his parents by asking his parents to be involved in this arrangement, this courtship. And then we see his parents doing what godly parents ought to do, at least at this point in verse 3a. They seek to dissuade their son from his proposition. They ask good questions. Is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren then, or among all my people? Why would you go do this? But then Samson continues to push them. He says, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Obviously, he's very caught up in how she is pleasing in terms of her looks. Now, there's some question amongst commentators as to whether the parents of Samson act wisely or not in verse 4. Do they give in improperly here? It clearly says they didn't know this was of the Lord, but they had had some visitations of an angel telling them that there were some unique things about Samson. And so even commentators like Matthew Henry are prepared to say that maybe in this case Manoah and his wife did not sin in allowing him to marry this woman. Whether that's the case or not, I don't think Manoah and his wife's decision on this point are any basis for us, if they don't provide any example for us to be willing to acknowledge or to acquiesce, to consent to our Christian children marrying non-Christian people. Having said that, we clearly see, though, that this is of the Lord. Though this isn't God's revealed will that an Israelite should marry outside of the people of God, yet it is God's secret will that this should happen. And we're told that it should happen so that there might be this problem with the Philistines who now at this point have dominion over Israel. And then that brings us to the second section of this brief passage. Samson, by special providence, being encouraged to attack the Philistines. Again, he asks his father to help, and his mother, it says, to help obtain this woman. And apparently in verses 5 through 7, we have them going down and arranging the marriage. Something of an engagement or a betrothal apparently takes place. He gets to talk with her at this point, but he brings his parents. While they're heading down there, he's in the vineyards, and he comes upon a lion. Now, Israel was not like Africa. There weren't lions running all around Israel ordinarily. You weren't likely to worry about lion attacks. But there were occasional periods of time in the history of Israel where there were packs of lions. And so apparently this is one of those cases. And we see again the unique strength that's given Samson when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He's able to rip this lion apart in his bare hands. And he does it and humbly doesn't say anything to his mother or father about it. He doesn't boast about it. He sees it as something unique, and he's not proud of it. He just does it. But then we see in verses 8 and 9, obviously he and his parents have returned to their home, and now the time set has come, and he returns to take her. Now the marriage is about to take place. And we find, as he goes down, he sees that lion, the carcass of the lion. Likely the vultures have eaten out the flesh of the carcass. But remember, Israel was a land flowing with milk and honey. Obviously, their goats gave a lot of milk. And obviously, there was a very healthy beekeeping industry in Israel. And there were so many bees that they made a hive in this carcass. And again, how many of you would dare barehandedly to go into a beehive and take out the honey? But again, miraculously, he does just that. And remember, John the Baptist, the New Testament Nazarite, lives off wild honey and locusts at the beginning of the Gospels. We see him giving to his parents. Proverbs 25:11 says, "Eat so much as is sufficient for thee." He doesn't gorge himself with the honey, but we see him actually providing sustenance to his parents from this honey. Lord willing, next 2 weeks from today, we'll take up Judges 14:10 through 20 and consider the rest of this story as this apparent marriage approaches.